Chapter 33. After the meeting, Yeager took the elevator down to his domain on the 10th floor. Never one for power lunches in Washington's established restaurants, he carried an old-fashioned lunch pail that contained fruit and vegetables and a thermos filled with carrot juice. He was a slow starter in the morning and didn't have the momentum to jump into work with both feet. Yeager sat and slowly sipped from a cup of herbal tea he brewed in a cabinet beside his desk, before leaning back and reading the Wall Street Journal to check on the status of his investments. Finally, he laid the paper aside and read the transcribed report from Sandecker's office regarding Pitt and Giordino's discovery of huge underground tunnels crossing Nicaragua. Then he ran a program that copied the typed report onto a computer disk. One more sip of his tea, and he punched up Max. She slowly materialized, wearing a brief blue silk robe with a yellow sash, blue stars, and an emblem across the back that read Wonder Woman. "How do you like my threads?" she asked in a syrupy voice. "Where did you find that?" Yeager demanded. "In a Goodwill reject box."
"I surf internet catalogs in my spare time. I charged it to your wife's Neiman Marcus account."
"You wish." Yeager smiled. Max was a hologram. There was no way she could order, wear, or pay for material objects. He shook his head in amazement at Max's nebulous yet vivacious temperament. There were times when he thought that programming Max with his wife's appearance and personality might have been a mistake. "If you're through showing off, Wonder Woman, I have a little job for you."
"I'm ready, Master," she replied, mimicking Barbara Eden in the old I Dream of Jeannie TV show.
Yeager programmed the disk contents into Max's memory. "Take your time and see what you make of this." Max stood unblinking for a few moments and then asked, "What do you wish to know?" "The question is, what possible motive does Odyssey and the Red Chinese have for digging four massive tunnels across Nicaragua from the Atlantic to the Pacific?"
"That's easy. The conundrum doesn't even warm my circuits."
Yeager looked at her apparition. "How can you have an answer? You haven't analyzed the problem yet." Max patted her mouth in a yawn.
"This is so elementary. I'm constantly astounded that humans can't think beyond their noses."
Yeager was certain he had made a mistake in the program. Her response was far too quick.
"All right. I'm eager to hear your solution." "The tunnels were built to transfer a vast amount of water."
"I don't count that as a dazzling revelation." He began to feel she had gotten off track. "A series of tunnels leading into the oceans and mounting huge pumps makes that an obvious conclusion."
"Ah," Max said, holding up one hand with the index finger raised. "But do you know why they want to pump massive amounts of water through the tunnels?"
"For a huge desalinization program. An irrigation project? Hell, I don't know."
"How can humans be so dense?" Max said in frustration.
"Are you ready, Master? If you would be so kind."
"The tunnels were created to divert the South Equatorial Current that flows from Africa into the Caribbean Sea."
Yeager was confused. "What kind of environmental threat would that provoke?"
"Don't you see it?
There's more than enough water in the Atlantic Ocean to make up for the loss of a few million gallons."
"Not funny."
"What then?" Max threw up her hands.
"By diverting the South Equatorial Current, the temperature of the Gulf Stream would drop almost 8 degrees by the time its flow reached Europe."
"And?" Yeager probed.
"An 8-degree drop in the water that warms Europe would send the continent into a weather pattern equal to northern Siberia's."
Yeager could not immediately grasp the enormity of Max's words, nor the unthinkable consequences. "Are you sure about this?"
"Have I ever been wrong?" Max pouted.
8 degrees seems like an excessive decrease," Yeager persisted doubtfully.
"We're only talking maybe a 3-degree drop in the water temperature as the Gulf Stream cuts past Florida. But when the icy Labrador Current moves down from the Arctic and meets it after the stream arcs past the Canadian Maritime Provinces, the temperature drop is magnified. This in turn greatly influences a further temperature decrease across Europe, altering the weather patterns and causing a disruption in the atmosphere from Scandinavia to the Mediterranean."
The horrendous scheme suddenly became crystal clear to Yeager.
Very slowly, he picked up the phone and dialed Sandecker's office. The Admiral's secretary put Jaeger right through.
"Did Max come up with any answers?" asked Sandecker.
"She did."
"And?"
"Admiral," Jaeger began in a hoarse voice, "I'm afraid we have a catastrophe in the making."